Mother's Eye, bake that man an apple pie. It's easy with the new Pillsbury Pie Crust Mix. Yes, it's so easy, quick, and convenient to turn out perfect pie crust every time with Pillsbury Pie Crust Mix. You just add water to the mix and roll it out, and you get tender, light, flaky crust every time, rich with flavor, tempting to look at, wonderful to eat. And remember, in every package of Pillsbury Pie Crust Mix, there are 9 full ounces of the finest ingredients, ample for a big two-crust pie. Get a package tomorrow. Bake a delicious homemade apple, fresh peach, or berry pie for the man of the house. And now, Bob Trout with the latest news.
British, French, and American diplomats in Moscow are cheerful this afternoon. They feel that a four-power conference to decide the fate of Germany may soon be arranged. Last night, Russia's Foreign Minister Molotov unexpectedly returned from a vacation, and immediately he called in the Western representatives to talk over the German problem in private. Today, the officials of the three Western powers got together for a meeting of their own, as the world waits for Russia's decision, not expected until later in the week. In Berlin, the blockade is still on, and American shuttle planes have set a new record by carrying more than 2,000 tons of food and coal into the city in one 24-hour period. Today, some of the Germans who live in Berlin held a big meeting to honor the 5 American flyers who've lost their lives while ferrying supplies into the city. German speakers described the 5 as heroes who help us resist subjugation under a new dictatorship. Word from Washington, the Republican and Democratic high commands have got together, agreed on one thing. They've reached an understanding about cooperating in matters of foreign policy during the campaign. There'll be some criticisms exchanged between the two parties, all right, but today they say nothing that could lead the Russians to count on an America divided. NBC correspondent John Donovan has just arrived in Rome after a flight from Athens. He sends us a dispatch telling of new troubles between the Greek government and the American military authorities over there. Mr. Donovan says the Americans are demanding that Greek government troops get in and fight. But Greek War Minister Stratos says the Americans promised us poison gas to use against the guerrillas, then failed to fulfill the promise. Our correspondent says General Van Fleet, the top American officer in Greece, firmly denies that any such promise was ever made. On the other side of the globe, in Manila, a strange murder case, Philippine police have arrested a man charged with the murder of one Artemio de la Cruz, and they say their suspect has confessed, but he tells an odd tale. He says he had nothing against Artemio. He didn't even know the man. He was hired to do the murder by Artemio's enemies, poor people who passed the hat and collected a fund of $250 to pay the killer. Dozens of people contributed to the fund, some paying as little as $5 apiece. And the tantalizing question is, why did this man have so many enemies? We don't yet know. President Truman, the Democratic candidate, joined his opponent, New York's Governor Thomas Dewey, in opening New York's big new Idlewild airfield yesterday. Then the president took off from the field. He flew home to Independence, Missouri. Today he's spending a quiet Sunday among his old Missouri neighbors. And he plans to fly back to Washington as soon as he's cast his vote in the Democratic primaries on Tuesday. And in Washington, the House Un-American Activities Committee now says it has evidence of its own backing up the charges in about half the 30-some cases mentioned by Elizabeth Bentley, the lady who says she was once a communist spy. Now for Pillsbury, here's Arthur Gary.
Thank you, Bob Trout. See how easy it is to make a pie with Pillsbury Pie Crust Mix. Pie with light, flaky, tender crust and a rich flavor of fine shortening. Yes, Pillsbury Pie Crust Mix makes perfect pie. That's why it's America's largest selling pie crust mix. Get a package soon and thrill them at your house with your own homemade pie. Listen again next Sunday at this time for Robert Trout on the News, brought to you by Pillsbury, greatest name in flour.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
There is a growing tendency in some quarters to act as if atomic energy were none of the American public's business.
Oh, the public? How can you begin to tell anybody who has trouble filling a little thing like an income tax blank about atomic energy? It's too technical for them.
Or they say,
the national security comes first. We must never forget that. The national security requires that the public be kept in the dark.
In my opinion, this is just plain nonsense. And dangerous nonsense.
Living 1948, brought to you by NBC and its affiliated stations, holds up its mirror this week that marks the third anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima to reflect some meaningful advice from the man this nation has put in charge of atomic development in a drama document entitled
Atomic Energy is Your Business.
Here is your narrator, Ben Grauer.
Greetings, friends. Not very long ago, the man we Americans entrusted with one of the most delicate, serious, and far-reaching jobs in the whole world rose before a small audience in Indiana and made a speech that every American should have heard. The man, David Lilienthal. The job, chairman of the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission. Because we feel sure that all too many Americans missed it, we deem it fitting, as we enter the fourth year of the atomic age, to seek to recapture once more the wisdom of his advice to all of us. Only one basic change has been made in what Commissioner Lilienthal had to say. With his permission, we've taken the liberty of giving his words dramatic interpretation. In the interest not only of living 1948 then, but of living ad infinitum, we continue with the speech to which every American might well lend his ears.
I say to you that atomic energy and scientific discoveries have not and need not change the fundamental principles of democracy, which rest upon faith in the ultimate wisdom of the people. And I propose now to suggest a specific program whereby in all American communities, the people on their own can set about to learn the essential facts about atomic energy. What do you think of when you think of atomic energy? Chances are you think only of...
Brother, don't say atom to me. Every time I think of that bomb, I wish I was never born.
Yes, the chances are you think only of the atomic bomb. That is natural enough. You've been fed a publicity diet of almost nothing else but horror stories since the blast at Hiroshima 2 years ago. Some people are warning you to get ready to move into caves.
It's the only smart thing to do. That's what George says. George is my husband. Go underground, that's what he says. At least down in the cave, we'll all have half a chance.
Others are actually proposing, as a defense measure, that we prepare to turn the life of the country over to military control.
It's too big a thing for civilians to handle, I tell you. We're as good as at war now. And when you're at war, you ought to turn things over to guys that are trained to fight for it.
It is a tribute to the American people's horse sense that they have kept their shirts on through all of this. You're troubled, of course, concerned, uneasy, and you should be. The atomic weapon is real. I live with it day and night. And I assure you that however fantastic, it is plenty real. We have but to remember what happened 3 years ago this week.
August 6th began in a bright, clear summer morning.
August 6th, 1945, is the day the bomb fell on Hiroshima. You are listening to the eyewitness account of Father John A. Seams, who was there.
Suddenly, the whole valley is filled by a garish light. I'm conscious of a wave of heat. I jump to the window, but I see nothing more than that brilliant yellow light. As I make for the door, I hear a moderately loud explosion which seems to come from a distance, and the windows are broken in with a loud crash. I realize now that a bomb has burst. I'm bleeding from cuts about the hands and head. I attempt to get out of the door. It has been forced outwards by the air pressure and has become jammed. I force an opening by repeated blows with my hands and feet. Soon comes news that the entire city has been destroyed by the explosion, and that it is on fire.
It is true that the nation's Atomic Energy Commission is today developing and producing materials for such weapons. As required by law, we fully intend to maintain American preeminence in these weapons, until effective international safeguards are enforced.
What is the law?
The paramount objective is to secure the common defense and security.
It is true that our present monopoly of production of such weapons will not last indefinitely. And other nations on their own can produce such bombs.
I give them 20 years at most.
I give them 10.
I give them 5.
It is true that a war in which such bombs were used in number would be a catastrophe of unendurable violence to civilization.
A general is testifying before the Senate Atomic Energy Committee.
According to our careful calculations, 8 atomic bombs of the Nagasaki type would suffice to destroy New York, and 3 of them could destroy Washington, D.C.
Thank you, General.
No one, least of all your speaker, underestimates the importance of atomic energy as a weapon. A weapon that has shaken previous military concepts to their foundations. But it is equally important to understand that
atomic energy and atomic bombs are not synonymous.
To continue to think so is a major fallacy. A fallacy that will make more difficult our efforts to eliminate atomic energy as a weapon of war. A fallacy that may keep us from the beneficial fruits of this great discovery. The weapon is the first demonstration of the use of atomic energy. And a very dramatic one it is indeed.
Well, it's like being introduced to electricity through the electric chair.
But what we have here is not simply a weapon. Here is newly acquired knowledge of great and universal forces.
August 6, 1945, in a high school physics class.
Students, please. I presume you have all read this morning the president's announcement of the atom bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. I wonder how many of you realize what this means. Up to today, fire was our chief source of energy. Now, the dream of scientists, a new source of energy and matter itself, has been proved beyond the shadow of a doubt. Today, we are on the brink of a new world.
Within the next few years, a decade perhaps, we should be in a position to unlock new knowledge about life and matter so great that wholly new concepts of human life will follow in the wake of this new knowledge. These changes will affect you and yours. Some of these changes are in process at this moment.
Quote from the Deputy U.S. Representative on the United Nations Atomic Energy Commission.
The deadlock which still exists with the Russians in the matter of the control of atomic energy is a dark cloud hanging over all our hopes for a better world.
Thus, the atomic weapon has changed the relations between nations. The problem of the maintenance of peace, and nothing could be closer to you and that of your children. But atomic energy has already brought changes in the treatment of human suffering, and is at this moment.
Well, how's my patient today?
Oh, doctor, I feel so much better, like a new person, and all because of that medicine.
Radioactive iodine.
Oh, why wasn't I given it before, doctor, when I first started having this hyperthyroid trouble?
It's only recently that we've had it in sufficient quantity to give.
What do you mean, doctor?
You know where that radioactive iodine came from, Mrs. Thompson?
No.
Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Oak Ridge, Mm-hmm. You mean where the atom bomb is?
Where the atom chain reacting pile is in operation.
Then I owe all this
You feel better today, Mrs. Thompson, and you leave the hospital soon.
Because
of the scientists who split the atom.
Radioactive materials from the commission's plant at Oak Ridge are throwing a clear light upon some of the oldest mysteries of life. For example, how does a plant absorb fertilizer from the soil?
Seen. A government agricultural experiment station in Maryland.
Happened to be passing. Just thought I'd drop by and see what was going on.
Oh, well, I'm glad you dropped in, Jess. I've got something over here I think you'll be interested in. You got a minute?
Sure.
All right, follow me. Here we are. I want you to take a look at these plants, Jess.
Huh? Don't see nothing different about them.
Oh, you don't, huh? Jess, these plants here are going to help tell us how much of the fertilizer you put in the soil is absorbed by the growth process and how much is just plain going to waste.
You mean you're actually going to be able to tell it?
That's what we hope.
But how?
By using radioactive phosphorus from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, as a tracer.
As a tracer?
We simply insert it into ordinary commercial fertilizer, see? Then we apply that fertilizer to the plant.
Yes? Yeah?
Well, that radioactive phosphorus flashes a signal to us at all times, tells us where it is, and we can read that signal on the outside of the plant with a counter. In other words, Jess, we can trace it. We can now find out the speed with which that phosphorus is taken in by the plant and where it goes.
Well, I'll be.
Yes, sir. And with facts like that, Jess, we believe we can help you get 90% return out of your fertilizer instead of 60 or 20. In short, it'll mean better crops and money in your pocket and more food for hungry people all over the world.
I think I've been cussing out the atom ever since I heard of it.
It is fair to say that the entire investment in the atomic energy project, now nearly $2.5 billion, may be more than repaid by the benefits to agriculture and human nutrition alone. Moreover, at Commission Laboratories, work proceeds so that someday the energy released by the splitting of the atoms of uranium and plutonium will provide a new source of electricity and heat.
Permit me to illustrate this point of Mr. Lilienthal's, ladies and gentlemen. You see that I have in my hand a small lump of coal. Now, supposing I was to burn this lump of coal, the amount of energy or heat we'd get out of this one small lump of coal by burning it would be, as you readily can guess, negligible. Let's say this much. But change that picture in your mind. Visualize that what I held in my hand was not coal, but uranium. This cylinder is made up of 3 million billion billion atoms of uranium, each with a nucleus. Now, if I were to release the energy in this uranium, not by burning, but by the splitting of the nucleus, by what is called fission, the energy from the heat that would be created would be equivalent not to this, as we got from a lump of coal, but this.
The equivalent of the burning of 2,500 tons of coal.
New professions for young people.
Wanted: radiobiologists, radiochemists, radiometallurgists, radiobotanists, radiobacteriologists.
New hope for the afflicted.
You mean there's a chance for me now, Doctor?
A good chance, Mr. Mackey.
And new understanding of how science can serve for peace. These are among the items on the agenda of the present and immediate future. But what should concern us, it seems to me, is not that changes are coming. Americans have always taken change in their stride. But that the changes shall be fitted into the American way of doing things. That those changes shall not be imposed upon us so that individual freedom is impaired.
You can't do that.
Who says so?
The government.
But I'm part of the government. I don't remember any such law.
Too late now, buddy.
We must make sure the American people will have a say-so, and a decisive say-so, in the adjustments these discoveries will bring in community life. And you must make dead sure that your public servants, in all branches of your government, all understand clearly that atomic energy is your business.
My business?
Yes, the people's business. Now, I warn you, this will not be easy, but it is vitally important that you keep the decisions, the broad decisions, in your hands. For more and more things in your daily life will be affected by the discoveries and applications of science.
Here's a better light bulb, Mrs. Smith.
Here's a stronger car, Mr. Jones.
Here's a better radio.
A better oil.
A better insect killer.
But you must not, at your peril, let these new technical advances get out of your power to control and direct. It comes down to this.
Bernard M. Baruch, submitting the United States policy on control of atomic energy to the United Nations Atomic Energy Commission, June 14, 1946.
My fellow members of the United Nations Atomic Energy Commission and my fellow citizens of the world, We are here to make a choice between the quick and the dead. That is our business. Behind the black portent of the new atomic age lies a hope which, seized upon with faith, can work salvation. If we fail, then we have damned every man to be the slave of fear. Let us not deceive ourselves. We must elect world peace or world destruction. Only in the will of mankind lies the answer.
My friends, here is the challenge of our time. What this vast problem requires is not technical judgment, but rather the human experiences and good sense of the natural leaders of opinion within the thousands of communities of the country. There has never been any good substitute for the all-round common sense of an informed lay public. But you can be barred from a decisive voice in these issues so close to your life and future. You can be kept out by your own default.
Adams, every time you pick up the paper, somebody's giving you the lowdown on Adams. If I had my
Henry,
way...
Henry, darling, remember what the doctor said about your blood pressure. You'll just have to forget all about those horrid Adams, darling. Just ignore them.
By failing to inform yourselves, you will not be effective in the making of great decisions on the problems that atomic science presents for determination. Now, just what is it you need to do about becoming informed? Bear in mind, what is needed is not knowledge about scientific or engineering matters. No, the kind of judgment that I'm talking about is a sense of what things people will accept as right and sensible and workable.
A sense about human relations, standards of fairness.
Principles of self-government and of self-education.
Issues that call for the kind of overall judgment that is summed up when your neighbor says...
That makes sense to me.
For example, nothing could weaken the security of our country in the atomic field more quickly, nor more surely slow up research in cancer control, say, than to permit science and scientists to be kicked around by the organized forces of...
ignorance.
Demagoguery.
Petty politics.
There is only one real protection.
As long as I can vote, they're not getting away with it.
An informed public. You need to watch your public servants, to keep an eye on us, whether in the executive branch, the military, or in Congress. And to do so effectively, your views and judgments must be based upon some knowledge of the background of facts.
Did you see what they're proposing in Washington, Mac?
No, I've given up wondering what those guys are up to.
Oh, yeah, but this is about atomic energy.
So what?
So what? So if we don't kick about it now, when are we going to kick about it? I'm writing my congressman.
How can you acquire sufficient information to make you effective? For what technical information you need, try your nearby colleges or your local high school.
I'm chairman of the program committee of the Ladies' Aid, Mr. Bartlett.
Oh, yes.
We think we ought to know more about atoms and things like that, since they're going to play such a big part in our life from now on.
Oh, no question of that, Mrs. Wheaton.
Well, we didn't know where to turn for that kind of information until Stanley told us how well you explained it to your class, and
oh,
so...
Oh, you're wondering if I can do half as well for the Ladies' Aid, huh?
Yes. I'm sure you can. Will you? Do you think...
I'd be delighted, Mrs. Wheaton. When do you think you'd like to...
Wednesday night at 9.
Okay. You can tell the Ladies' Aid that next Wednesday at 9, they have a date to split an atom with me. The problem is chiefly one of getting non-secret information into a form for your concentration that will be clear, interesting, and without bias, giving you a chance to check one version against another and draw your own conclusions.
An excellent source for latest information on our topic, the fourth semi-annual report of the Atomic Energy Commission, is now on the press. A copy may be obtained by sending 35 cents to the Superintendent of Documents, U.S. Government Printing Office, Washington 25, D.C.
Try to keep as close to home as possible when you come to your analysis and your discussion of these things. Don't be content to take ideas that have been pre-digested for you at some distant place. Put this on the programs of your Chamber of Commerce.
Our speaker tonight will discuss the future of atomic energy and industry.
He is a man well known for
his... 4-H Club.
Tom Wilson is going to read us a paper he prepared on the atom and the American farmer. So if you'll all come to attention...
The Boy and Girl Scouts, the unions, the parent-teacher associations, Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions, League of Women Voters...
These are your organizations. You can speak your mind in your own town.
In New York City, they're making the golden anniversary of the big town the occasion for a community project of the sort our speaker's describing.
In New York's Grand Central Palace, between August 23rd and September 19th, millions of New Yorkers and their out-of-town guests will view an atomic energy exhibit.
They will dramatize by live demonstrations and exhibits what an atom is.
How the scientist splits it, and what happens.
The effort behind the development of atomic energy.
The need for international control.
Atomic energy and the better life.
It will be a real service to include at the anniversary observance this program of exhibits on atomic energy and its promise for the second half century of modern New York.
And the National Junior Chamber of Commerce has under serious consideration a plan to take these exhibits to other cities as well.
But be careful. Don't make these drives full of ardor and zing for a couple of weeks, and then...
Oh, let's think up some other campaign. That subject's washed up.
This is not a campaign. This subject will be with you for a long time. So take it in your stride. I can see the time not long off, and the words and phrases connected with atomic energy will become just as much a part of common speech and understanding as carburetor, X-ray, high octane, short circuit.
Say, did you know they started the third nuclear reaction at the plant today?
No. How'd it go?
Oh, understand it ran kind of hot, and so they replaced the rods with the old style.
Oh, the kind with higher neutron absorption?
Yeah, and got under control. Bill tells me they checked the first lot of radioisotopes with a Geiger counter, and it looks as if everything's hunky-dory. They'll probably start to install the fourth reactor.
What I propose will mean some work. Most of you are already as busy as you can be. Those of you who are looked up to as leaders in your community are usually quite burdened with chores beyond your own business at home. But let me say this. Look upon this task of becoming familiar with the essentials of atomic energy as an obligation directly to your children. And if there are grandchildren, to your grandchildren, or to those nice, likable youngsters next door. If schemers or fools or rascals or hysterical stuffed shirts get this thing out of your hands, it may then be too late to find out what it's all about. Do it for your children. That idea helps me on my job. That idea and this feeling I have deep in me.
God, the Father of us all, did not make man in his image and endow him with capacity to learn nature's secrets, in order that man use that knowledge to destroy the human race. Rather, should we say, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. The earth is full of thy riches.
The American people, talking these things over throughout this broad land, will get a feel for this subject, an understanding that may make the difference between calamity and progress. I believe the American people will work this thing out until they feel...
That makes sense to me.
For in the conscience and judgment of the people lies the strength of democracy.
Living 1948 is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold. With scripts written by Lou Hazem, technical advice by Jane Tiffany Wagner, music conducted by Milton Katims and program direction by Jack Cuney. Speaking the words of David E. Lilienthal in the recreation of the speech, Atomic Energy is Your Business, was Jim Bowles. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1948 by joining us next week when we'll present a special drama document of midsummer significance entitled
The Sun and You.
Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.